Welcome to The Guilty and the Ghostly. I'm Audrey.
I'm Josh.
I'm Seth.
And I'm Garrett.
And we have Eve with us today. So we met Eve at FrankenCon when she did my tarot reading. So welcome.
Yeah, welcome. Hello.
Is there anything you want to share? I mean, how did you get started in tarot?
Oh boy. So I've been in it for about 8.5 years. And what started it is actually I had my second scoliosis surgery because the titanium rods had snapped. So I had to get the second surgery for it. And like in that time, my family was heavily Christian. Like the type that they try to pray away the scoliosis.
I gotcha. And so was that kind of your way to rebel?
Kind of, because when I got back home, I was laying on the bed that they provided because of how annoying scoliosis can be. I was laying there and I was like, Christianity is just not for me. Like, it has let me down through so much. Like, I understand that Christianity to me, it is a religion. Is just anymore from what I have seen is people like to cherry pick it.
Yeah.
So it's not one of those that I got out of Christianity because I don't believe it. I got out of it because it didn't fit me.
And that surgery is a major surgery. So actually our daughter's best friend has scoliosis and she had to go through that, I guess it was about 5 years ago now.
Yeah.
And watching what she went through, I could not imagine. And then having to do it again, that is, I could not imagine.
Yeah.
It was chaotic, honestly.
I bet it was.
I could only imagine. So when you started, I mean, how does one start? Because actually, Josh just got me my first tarot deck. It came yesterday. I'm so excited. I'm going to admit it's a little bit overwhelming. I don't know where to start. I was just kind of playing with them, looking at them. Where does one start with tarot?
It's different for everyone. I do know that. How I started was I was actually at a flea market, and one of our best friends, she's a witch as well, and something was like just drawing me towards the tarot cards, and she made a deal with me that if I could guess some sort of question she had in her head correctly without telling me the answer, she would teach me tarot. And to this day, I don't know what the question or the answer was, but I got it right.
So do you think you had any gifts or anything before even doing tarot? Like, did you have any encounters, I guess, with the spiritual world at all?
A lot when I was younger, I did. The property I used to live on was completely haunted. It used to be a slave plantation. And yeah. I would actually play with the ghost kids that were on that property.
Okay, I know we brought you on for tarot, but we cover paranormal too. I need to know more.
Yeah, seriously.
The main little kid I can remember playing with when I was younger, her name was Maria. And I don't remember how much she looked like, but when I described her when I was younger, apparently it was exact detail on what Maria looked like.
Wow.
Well, I have a question about that. You said your parents were like
Bible thumpers, if you will, for lack of a better term. How was their like view on that? I mean,
they weren't always like that. For the longest time, they didn't even go to church. It was like a thing that just got randomly introduced into my family that we're Christian now, go to church because God says so. So it was kind of a weird thing growing up with it, because out of nowhere you get thrown into a religion you know nothing about.
That makes sense. And are they still kind of like that, or are they more accepting now?
They're more accepting.
Good, good. Well, like I said, with me just getting my new cards, where did you start? I mean, were you just kind of shuffling cards and learning them? Because that's kind of what I'm seeing that you should do first. Just play with the cards. Just feel them out. Get used to them. And so how did you kind of kick it off?
That's how I started as well. When the first deck I had, I was just playing with it. And whatever card came out, I would do my research on. And I kind of got to a point where I was remembering like the information and everything, that I kind of tried slowly pulling away from the information book I made, and yeah, got to the point where I could remember the information without looking at it.
I gotcha. And do you do readings for everybody? I mean, I know you said you might be doing it for the haunted house this year. Do you just do it for friends? Do you do it professionally?
How often? I do it for everyone.
Okay.
Okay.
So how much, did you have a lot of traffic at FrangaCon?
No, not really. It was pretty low, but that's okay.
Well, I loved seeing all the different decks and the different types. They're beautiful. Do you have a favorite one?
I do have a favorite. It's my Happy Halloween deck.
Okay.
I just recently got it, but it's my favorite out of all.
And is it just a feeling, or is it the colors? What's your favorite part about it?
The imagery on them.
Some of the imagery is absolutely stunning on these tarot decks. Is this something that you think anybody can learn, or do you think you need to have a gift to start with it? What are your feelings on that?
In my opinion, I think anyone could learn tarot. Because it's not just about the cards, it's also using your intuition with it.
I've seen what you did with my reading, but what is your normal practices? Because I know there's so much lore and do's and don'ts, but a lot of it is also, like you said, intuition and what feels right to you. What's kind of your ritual for it?
So, like, when I do a reading for myself, a ritual I go through is I usually shuffle the cards 3 times, which when I did your reading, you probably saw that at the beginning before we start.
Mm-hmm.
I shuffle 3 times and then knock on it 3 times, because that's my way of like awakening the energy of the deck to start the reading. And then after I place the energy, or the other person places the energy into the card, I then shuffle it twice and then knock 3 times and then do the reading.
And do you ever cleanse the cards after readings?
Yes.
And what's that process look like?
So when I cleanse the cards, I spread them all out and cleanse them each one at a time. And I use either sandalwood, frankincense, or myrrh to cleanse them.
Have you ever had a reading where it just left you spooked or chilled, or just a very memorable one?
Actually, yeah. It happened like before the reading fully started too.
Okay.
Wow.
And what happened?
What had happened? It's okay. I won't name names, because I'm not sure if they would be okay with it.
Yeah, that's understandable.
It was pretty spooky. But what had happened is, it was when I was still doing readings at the 407 flea market, and a woman and her husband like just stepped foot into the booth, and I gave her a tilted head look if she had just found out that she had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she like instantly broke down crying. Her boyfriend looked at me offended, because he was about to say no, she had alopecia areata, but then she spoke and she was like, 3 days ago, I just found out there was a massive tumor on my brain.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. And do you use it on yourself ever? Do you use it to kind of see what, if you have any questions or what's happening?
Yeah. Anytime I have questions, concerns, or I'm not entirely sure what my next move is or anything, I definitely ask my tarot cards.
And why do you think people fear certain cards so much?
I think it's because of the whole cliche on them, how like, oh, death is literal death, or the whole like horror movie franchises where some is like, well, the tarot cards say you're going to die in like 5 months, 3 days, and 17 hours.
Yeah.
I think that's why people
attached to the devil or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because some people say there's stuff in the Bible about it, and it's, but they say that about zodiac signs too, but people still use those.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Technically, isn't casting lots similar to tarot?
Yeah. Well, actually, we discussed that yesterday because we were, believe it or not, having that discussion about religion and using tarot or numerology. I mean, everybody has their own religion and all of it has similarities. And kind of like you said, a lot of people cherry pick what they want to fit their narrative. When all of it's basically the same thing, but said or done a little bit differently.
Yeah, exactly. Or so it seems.
And what do you say about the naysayers? The ones who are like, oh, you know, that, like you said, that's for the devil, or that's not real. How do you justify it, or how do you kind of defend it?
Sometimes, depending on the situation I'm already in, if someone's like, oh, tarot satanic, I just kind of laugh. But then other times it's like they're really like hog-dogging it, trying to like shove it in your face.
Yeah.
I usually typically, because they like to pull out verses with it as well. So I kind of do the same sometimes, using verses against them. Or in general, I just tell them, you know, everyone technically believes in the same thing. We just have different names for it. So why is what I'm doing wrong, but the version you have is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And a lot of times, if they're naysayers and they have their heels in the ground anyways, it doesn't matter what you're going to say. They're not going to take it in. They're going to ignore it anyways and go on about themselves.
It's one of those you just got to pick and choose your own fight.
I've got the general consensus of, like, tarot cards, but, like, is it you just pull one card, or is it multiple cards, and you just, I mean,
it kind of predicts the future? So, each reading is different. There are readings that is a one-card pull, but then there are some readings that can go over 12.
Oh, wow.
It just, it depends on how in-depth you want your reading to be.
What were you going to ask?
I was going to say, what would be like the criteria to consider how many cards you pull?
To figure that out, again, kind of like in the aspect of like a beginner, I would say try to start off with 1 to 3 card pulls.
Mm-hmm.
That way you can kind of get your general idea and figure out what the cards mean altogether. Because just pulling one card, it has its own meaning. But then when you put cards together, they can make a different scenario happen.
Makes sense.
Okay.
When you buy a deck, how many cards come in it?
If you're buying a tarot deck, usually 75. If you're getting an oracle, it can be anywhere from like 15 to 30.
Wow.
I'll have to show you the ones that Josh got me. They're really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing with them last night. So, I mean, is this something that you think you'll pass down to, you know, people in your family? Have you kind of mentored anybody on doing tarot before?
Yeah, I have. I genuinely want to, like, pass down the tarot knowledge to my nephew and niece when they're older.
Okay.
And then there is currently... I'm not sure if you've seen her when she walked around in FrankenCon, but the one that dressed up as Samara with
TV
that she would crawl out of.
Yeah.
She currently has me helping her learn tarot.
Okay. And I mean, as far as learning tarot, I mean, do you just kind of, like you said, you just kind of look at them and kind of try to get to know each card individually, and then I guess you just feel the energy through it? I mean,
yeah. So with me, the way I processed it is think of it as meeting new individual people.
Okay.
Like, study the card itself, because if there's like a time you can't really truly remember the meaning of the card shows its meaning itself.
Okay.
So like, pay attention to imagery, like icons, facial expressions, if there's a character on it, as if you were to meet a new person, pay attention to like the details not others would.
Okay. So going more off of intuition versus like just memorizing a card is more helpful, I guess.
Yeah, when you get to a point that you trust your intuition more than you do trying to remember the meaning of the card, it becomes so much easier.
Okay.
Sounds.
Yeah. Have you ever refused doing a reading on someone, just maybe a bad vibe, or, you know, they're like, no, I ain't touching that.
There's been about 4 times that I have straight up told someone no, that I'm not doing a reading for them.
Wow. And it was it just the vibe of them, or what made you say no?
3 of them, it was the vibe. 1, I had given her so many readings before. And a specific one she finally chose not to listen to ended up getting her in jail.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Do you care to elaborate on that story a little further?
Because we do true crime as well, so it matches perfectly.
What had happened is she was about to go on a trip to Mexico for about 2 weeks. Because she was going to meet up with a dude she matched on Tinder. And she came to me 2 weeks before for the reading to see what was going to happen and if it was a good idea or not. And the whole time her daughters were trying to tell her that it wasn't a good idea, but she wouldn't listen. So she came to me, and what I told her was she was going to end up getting caught with more than 5 pounds of drugs. Because he stuck them into her trunk or back seat, and she would end up spending her entire trip in jail.
Wow. And you get all this from a tarot card pool?
That plus the intuition. Because at times with my intuition, I can actually give details on what a person may look like.
That's pretty cool.
Wow.
That is really
That's
cool.
That's awesome.
So with your intuition, how does that work? I know... If as long as you don't mind talking about it, Okay, how does that work for you?
So, for me, usually, wouldn't call it visions, but like quick little imageries that will like flash by, or words. I have a book that usually when like I get intuitional downloads, I'll write it out, and then at times when doing readings, I'll have those as well to like help further in depth on who or what people should be looking out for.
Okay, that makes sense. I find it completely fascinating, and I love how not every person has visions the same way. I mean, some people feel it through their hands. Some people it smell. Some, like you, kind of get, you know, little snapshots or visions or audio. I find it so fascinating that there's so many different ways, and each person has their own niche way of doing it. Do you think it's just that their sense is a little bit stronger on whatever it's coming through when they do that?
That is a possibility, that when theirs does that, it's stronger. But I feel it's more on how people process that energy.
Okay, that makes sense.
So you say you're a little more on the intuitive side. Is that something that you've had since you were younger? Or is that something that's become more keen to you as you've done your tarot card readings and stuff like that?
I've been like that since I was younger. But when I got around the age of 12 to 16, it kind of was dampened because a lot was going on through that time. And then when I finally was able to get to a point where I was slowly getting back into witchcraft and tarot, the intuition came back and it was stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to be like a muscle, too. The more you exercise it, to me, the stronger it would be, or the more connected you are with it.
Yeah.
I've also heard meditation helps.
Yeah.
Grounding, keeping yourself grounded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, meditation and grounding can help a lot. But a reminder is you do have to keep those two balanced.
So you mentioned witchcraft. What exactly do you mean by that?
Spell work, herbal care, things like that.
Okay.
Is this just is it a hobby or is it like a profession you do?
I would say a combination of the two, because I really enjoy doing it and it is like my job, doing tarot reading and helping people figure out spell work, things like that. That is my job, but I enjoy doing it.
That's really cool. I would assume they go hand in hand. So maybe you do like a tarot reading and you can kind of see something and you'd be like, okay, you need to relax. Here's this herbal that'll help you. Or do they kind of go hand in hand?
They can go hand in hand.
Yeah. Makes sense that they would.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's awesome with all the medicines and everything in modern medicine that we take now, when there's all this natural availability and we just don't use it. It shocks me.
Not many people know how to anymore.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest problems with that is there's no money in it.
Yeah.
There's money in pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've capitalized it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So a lot of that medicine and a lot of those things got taken away by the government to help places like big oil and big tobacco and
the pharmaceutical
companies and things
like that.
Healthy
people.
Yeah, right. Yeah, 100%.
So a lot of those natural medicines have just been lost over the years, but there are people that still practice that.
And I love it. I wish I knew more.
Yeah.
There was a point in time where I've made a lot of elderberry tonic. And then recently I started seeing that it was popping up more in stores.
Yeah. So I actually work in the forest industry. And a lot of times I have to go to these, I'll call them conventions. I really don't know what else you would call them, association meetings. And when I first started doing it, there might be like one elderberry booth set up. But now when I go, they're everywhere. I mean, everywhere. I don't know if it's just more. I think that it's also more accepted now, too. It's a little bit more mainstream, just like with witchcraft and tarot cards. I think more people are questioning that now and have more open minds to me.
It seems to. And I think the internet kind of has a lot to do with that now, because you're actually able to question things and find multiple different answers.
Yeah.
And then actually come up with your own
consensus
of what it actually is to you instead of to what it is to someone else.
Do you find that? Do you think it's more accepted now?
In regards to Tennessee, no. But outside, yes.
I mean, it's definitely more accepted than it was in 1700s.
Yeah, yeah. And see how I can say this without getting in trouble. I would almost think that Tennessee, certain parts of Tennessee, I should say, would be more accepting because it is a little bit more country, a little bit more.
Well,
backwards.
You say that, but a lot of those places
but it's not. That's crazy. Well, do you have a good support system? Is there people in your area that you can at least reach out and kind of bounce ideas off of and get with?
Absolutely. Good.
Well, I don't think, do you guys have anything else that you want to ask her?
Maybe. I mean, we cut her off whenever we were talking to her about the paranormal stuff.
Yeah. You want to tell us some more paranormal? Because we love a spooky story.
There was one time me, my brothers, and cousins were all out playing hide-and-seek tag in the night. And the taggers were the only ones allowed with flashlight. And my younger brother and I and my cousin that's a little younger than me, we went towards the quarry hole that's behind our house to hide. And with the quarry hole, it's been boarded up for, I think, more than 30 years, like the entrance to it. And my younger brother kept swearing that someone was touching him, but no one was right beside him. Mm-hmm. He still swears to that up and down today, along with that same night, my older brother and the two cousins that were closest to his age, they were arguing because I was left behind by those two cousins when they should have been bringing me with them. Because at the time, I was like 6 years old, and they were 16 and 17. And they didn't want to take care of a six-year-old, so they left me behind a tree and went to go hide by a old tractor. And they were arguing, and then out of nowhere, they started screaming that they saw, like, this tall figure looming over them. And so they quite literally picked us up. Like a chubby fat kid, they picked me up and ran inside. And at first, we thought they were joking and messing around, but my older brother was quite literally about to call 911 while they were panicking.
Oh my gosh. And do you think it was maybe like some, either an ancestor protective over you, or maybe someone on the land was like, hey, listen here, you little jerks. Yeah. That's funny.
I think it was something that was protecting that land, because where they saw the figure, there was like this thick giant tree with a chain around it.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the chain was buried into the ground, that and you like could not pull the chain out. So I'm not sure if it was something that was like protecting the land, or if it was something malevolent.
To me, it's almost like you said, almost protective, like a protective feeling.
It's kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah. You know? But I think that's hilarious that they got scared, though, because it's like, all right, we're going to teach you a lesson. Mm-hmm. Like, do what you're supposed to.
Yeah.
That's funny. We've had a few spooky experiences. Well, some of us have some hauntings, and there's been other times where I'm a really bad sleepwalker, very bad sleepwalker. But what's crazy is sometimes I'll see things in my dreams, but normally when I wake up and I have a sleepwalking episode, I know I was sleepwalking, that I know the difference. But there's other times where I wake up the next day and it's like, okay, I remember this happening, but I was not sleepwalking. I was awake when this happened. One, for instance, which I think we've talked about on the podcast before, I was at church camp and my counselor was asleep in her bed, and I had woke up. She was kind of catty-cornered to me, and I looked and I seen this figure standing there looking at her, and I was like, oh, what is she doing there? But then I look in her bed and she's asleep in her bed. So I look at the figure again and it's glowing and almost, I can't even explain it, just otherworldly. And I just had this wave come over me of love and peace and like everything's okay. And I just rolled over and went to sleep. And the next morning when I woke up, I was just like, okay, I saw something. Why didn't I freak out? It still sticks to me, with me today. There's been another time where we were living with Josh's mom and dad, and we were actually sleeping in his old room, and we had just had our first, well, she's about a year old at this point, and they had an antique chair sitting in that room, and it was your grandmother's chair.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of the same thing. I woke up in the middle of the night, seen an old lady sitting in that chair, and I looked over and was like, oh, there is somebody sitting there watching us sleep. But I had this feeling of like familial, I guess, feeling. And I was like, okay, and just rolled over and went back to sleep and woke up the next morning and was telling Josh and his mom about it. And I started describing her, and I described his grandmother that I had never met to a T. So we always kind of thought maybe she was just checking in on family and, mm-hmm. and just seeing. Does anybody else in your family have any gifts like that?
My mom, her empathy is way higher than mine.
Really?
She can just look at someone and automatically know what they're going through.
I get that. I think that is, if I were to have gifts, like I said, I've just kind of recently kind of started, you know, wondering what, but my empathy is insane. Like I can walk into a room and just feel it or be around somebody and I can be like, okay, something's off or something's good. I don't know. I can latch onto their emotions. And sometimes it can be very heavy because then it starts affecting mine. And I mean, do you have any wise words for somebody that's kind of trying to learn how to deal with that?
I don't really have anything towards empathy because, like I said, I don't have that much.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I'm not as empathetic as my mom.
How does she deal with it? Does she ever notice that it affects her emotionally?
I'm not sure. I can go ask her for y'all.
Oh, that's completely up to you. I was just curious. Like I said, I just think it's fascinating all the different gifts and how they each person it works differently and affects them differently. And mm-hmm. it's just absolutely fascinating.
It really is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all I have. And I don't want to keep you too long. I want to be respectful of your time. It's a, you know, holiday weekend, but mm-hmm. I really appreciate you coming on here with us.
We really do.
I appreciate you all wanting me on here.
Yes, yeah, yes. I actually played our reading on our episode last. We just released it yesterday, so everybody will get to hear you and kind of see it. So I really appreciate it. Do you want to shout out any socials or anything that you want to lead anybody to in case they have any tarot questions?
My Instagram that I'm more active on is Gabrielle_Canaday.
Okay. So yeah, if you have any questions, reach out to Eve. And again, we appreciate it so much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
And if you don't mind holding on for just a minute, but for all of our listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Join us next week for The Guilty Confess.
And The Ghostly Never Rest.
Bye, y'all.
See y'all.
Later.